Have your Bibles, we would invite you to take them and turn to Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3. I feel kind of deprived. I feel kind of bad because I prayed that the Lord would give me something to be able to talk about this morning. No creatures came into my garage. I didn't paint my body with anything. And I didn't spray my hair with glass cleaner. I'll just leave that up to the pastor to have all those stories. You'll just have to listen to the Word of God this morning. So, you're open to Exodus chapter 3. I know that in all of our lives we have had problems with excuses. I can remember my mom saying to me, looking me in the face and saying, "Denny, excuses, excuses, excuses." And I'm sure you teachers in the school have heard excuses. My dog ate my homework. Any of those excuses that you might hear. I know that as parents we've heard excuses, and probably children have heard excuses from parents. But we're going to talk about excuses this morning. As we see from Exodus chapter 3. Billy Sunday said, "An excuse is a skin of a reason stuffed with a lie." He's absolutely correct. Benjamin Franklin said, "He that is good for making excuses is seldom good for anything else." Rudyard Kipling said, "We have 40 million reasons for failure, but not a single excuse." The question I want you to think about with me in the few moments that we have together this morning is this. Very simple question. What does God do with man's excuses? There's a wonderful passage here in the Word of God that I think shows to us how God handles excuses from His people. You have your Bible open to Exodus chapter 3. Please follow along as we read a few verses from this passage, beginning with verse 1. Exodus chapter 3 and verse 1. "Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert, and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place wherein thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, and he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. For I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of the land, unto a good land and a large, and unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppress them. Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And Moses said unto God, Who am I, that I should go unto Pharaoh, and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, Certainly I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee, that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Israel, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, The God of your fathers has sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, What is his name, and what shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent thee unto you. God said moreover unto Moses, Thus thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, The Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob hath sent me unto you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations." Let's bow together for prayer. Father, we thank you for the opportunity that we have once again this morning to come into your house and to worship you. What a great time it is, Father, in this country as we think about our nation, the founding of our nation. And God, as has been said before, and we say it again this morning, we pray that God would continue to bless America. But, oh, Father, we pray that America might come back to blessing you. Lord, we pray that we might be what we ought to be as a nation. And, Lord, I pray that you would help us as Christians to do what we ought to do, to stand up for you in every opportunity that we have, that others will see Christ in us. Father, we're going to talk about something this morning that touches each of our lives. This matter of making excuses. And Father, we do it sometimes so easily. We pray that we will listen to what you have to say from your word and that we'll be willing, Lord, to make the changes that need to be made, that we'll stop making those excuses and be willing to lay everything upon the altar of sacrifice this morning and let you do, Lord, what you want to do. And we ask, Lord, these things in the name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Are you guilty or have you ever been guilty of making excuses? If so, then if you're under the sound of the message this morning, you and I need this message. We need to look at our hearts. We need to look at our lives and ask the question, am I making any kind of excuses in my life that I shouldn't be making? God has some answers for us. And that's what we want to look at this morning. I want you to imagine for a minute, and I'm doing this and trying to be very non-sacrilegious here, but I want you to imagine yourself as God. And as you do that, you're the creator of the universe and you possess all power within yourself. Your people are being held as slaves and the time has come to deliver them. I wonder, who would you choose to do that great work? I don't know, in our minds, maybe we would think something like this. I think I will go get a great military leader. Maybe a skilled politician. Maybe you would send some great orator, a man who would give heart-stirring speeches that would grip the hearts of mankind. If you had the population of the world at your disposal, I'm asking this question this morning, would you have sent Moses? Probably not. I mean, after all, he's 80 years old at this point. He was a fugitive from justice, wanted for murder in Egypt, the very place that you were going to send him. Yes, he was well educated, but that was over 40 years ago. Yes, he was indeed well connected in the political circles of the day, but that too had been a long time ago. And yet when it came time for God to deliver Israel, that is exactly the person that God chose to do the job. To you and I, as we sit here this morning as human beings, it doesn't make a lot of sense. But listen, my friend, many times what God does doesn't make sense to us as humans. But this is exactly what God did. God was a part of this great plan. Now, while you think about this, I'd ask you to throw something else into the hopper. Just chew a little bit on this as well. We're living in the midst of a world that is going to hell. I was so thankful for the message Pastor preached on hell, weren't you? God used that message in such a wonderful way to our hearts. People who are perishing daily and need desperately to be reached with the message of Jesus Christ surround us everywhere we go. And if you were God, who would you send to reach those people? Wouldn't you raise up some kind of super saints, or maybe you would ordain a few angels to get the job done? But surely you wouldn't send just a bunch of old sinners saved by grace to tell other old sinners about grace. Why? If we were God, we would want the brightest minds. We'd want the most skilled individuals that we could get our hands on. Yet when God chose to reach this world for himself, he looked around, my friend, and decided that saved sinners made the best candidates for his work. Amen. And God wants us to share the good news of the gospel with those that we come in contact with. Beloved, he hasn't changed his mind. He has saved every one of us to be workers for his glory. You read in Ephesians chapter 2, that great verse in verse 10, "For we are His workmanship, created unto Christ Jesus, unto good works." But when the realization dawns on us, we begin to drag out, if you would, the excuses that are there. We try and find every reason under the sun why we can't be the one who wants to do the job. That was Moses' problem. And as we look into how the Lord handled Moses' excuses, I think we do find something there that He pretty skillfully handles ours as well. In chapter 3 and 4 of the book of Exodus, these two chapters, there is a wealth of encouragement for the Christian who wants to serve God, but just doesn't feel capable. And we're going to study that together this morning. And notice with me, if you would, God's answers for man's excuses. I want you to look at chapter 3 again and notice especially here the first few verses. But as you get down to chapter 11, or verse 11, notice these words. Chapter 3 and verse 11. "And Moses said unto God, Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh, that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt?" I want you to notice the excuse of the inability that Moses looks at himself and says, "I don't have that ability." Moses' first concern is that nobody, and is therefore he is just a nobody, and he's not qualified to go to Pharaoh and demand the release of the Lord's people. There are some in the church who may feel that way. We feel we aren't qualified as somebody else would be to do the job. Or we just don't have the ability to do the job. Yet in haste to give up before we ever start, we forget one important truth. Listen, my friend, God chose you to do the job. God chose you to do the job. To say we aren't able to do the job says that God doesn't know what He's doing. After all, let me ask you a question. Who knows best, God or you? Amen. And God does know best. Look at verse 12. God's response to Moses. He says, "And He said, Certainly I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee, and I have sent thee, when thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain." God's response to Moses is quite interesting. It's a response to us too, and it's a pair of answers to a precious promise. First of all, He tells Moses, "I will go with you." That's the promise of His presence. And secondly, He says, "After you accomplish what I have sent you, I will meet you here." This is the promise of a glorious reunion someday. And with those truths in mind, there is an application that you and I can make for our lives today. Number one, if God has called us, He has done so with knowledge of our weaknesses and inabilities. He knows everything about us. He knows us intimately. God would never call you to do a job. God would never call me to do a job if He didn't give us the ability to do it. Right. And I can remember, as I was a youth pastor for many, many years, and one day I realized it was time for me to get out of the youth ministry and go into full-time pastorate. But I remember driving up to that first church, driving down 1,000 North up in LaPorte, Indiana. And as I saw that church, I turned to Sandy and I said, "You know, this is really scary to realize now the buck stops at my desk. I have the responsibility of pastoring this church." It wasn't a large church. But as far as I'm concerned, every church is important to the Lord. Amen. Doesn't matter the size. God's concerned about what you do and what you share with those people, and those are your responsibility. But if He's called us, He knows our inabilities. He knows us intimately. If God has called us, He knows that we can accomplish the task through His power. For the Bible tells us we can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth us. Amen. He knows the end from the beginning. And when He sends us out to work, He never sends us alone. He says, "Lo, I am with you always." I've heard people say that's why I don't fly planes, because God says, "Lo, I am with you always." But I think we know the real meaning, don't we? God is there. He's not going to let us just go out in this work by ourselves. He's going to go with us. And after the work is ended, He's going to gather us to Himself, where we will experience His great presence in eternity. What a blessing that is to think about. to know that God has given us the opportunity to serve Him. But as we serve Him, we have that opportunity. But then we're going to all get together. And one day, my friend, we're going to be in heaven. And what a day that's going to be. To gather together with the Lord. Well, if your excuse this morning is one of inability, then just send that thought back to hell, because that's where it came from. In and of yourself, my friend, yes, we are incapable of anything godly, anything good, but through the power of God, you can do anything. I think back, and as I read through the Bible, and you read through the Bible, you see Gideon and his little band. And God blessed and God used that man and that little band. They were strong in their weakness. Judges chapter 7. You think of the Apostle Paul. You think of all the people that God used over and over and over again. All it takes, my friend, is for you and I just to come and put that excuse on the altar today and say, you know what, God, I don't feel like I have the ability, but my Bible tells me and your word says to me I can do all things through Christ and I want to serve you. Put that excuse of inability on the altar this morning and say, God, I'll do whatever you want me to do. Well, let's go on here, because there's another excuse. We just barely got into it as we read the first 15 verses. But as you look at verses 13 through 22, there is the excuse of inadequacy. The excuse of inadequacy. After Moses is telling God all of his inabilities, he moves on and he talks of his inadequacies. He says in these verses, notice Moses is saying, I just don't know enough about who you are. And many are in the same shape as Moses. Not only do we feel that we're incapable of serving the Lord as we should, but we just feel so inadequate that somehow we just don't know enough about the Lord. We don't know enough about His Word to get the job done. And I love God's response to Moses, don't you? God's response to Moses to remind him that He is the great I Am. Yeah. And while Moses was maybe inadequate, the God who called him, the God who equips him, is certainly not. God is in essence saying to Moses, just do as I say and I will show you I Am. And I will meet that need. You see, that's how God works in our lives. I've seen it over and over again. He leads us out to follow Him by faith, and we know very little about Him and His ways. First job that I ever had after college was at Shepherd's Home and School in Union Grove, Wisconsin. It was my opportunity and joy to serve the Lord in that ministry, to teach mentally retarded children. And I felt for a long time that God wanted me to be involved in that ministry, and it was for a couple of years. But I remember first coming into that room and seeing these kids sit around the table. And now it was my responsibility to teach them. You teach A and B, and it'd take you a week to teach that for them to recognize in words that were important. And then when you came back the next week, they didn't know what A was and they didn't know what B was. Very, very difficult time. But I remember saying, Lord, I can't do this. I didn't even know how to accomplish it. But how wonderful it is to see God move in. And give abilities from your inadequacies to make you adequate to do jobs that you didn't think you could do. God proves Himself adequate and faithful to every challenge. His name, I Am, becomes an open-ended statement. Because in those two words, God tells us that He is what we need Him to be at every moment in our lives. You see, there's not a situation you will ever find yourself in that God doesn't hold the solution to. He's able and He enables us to go through this life and do whatever He wants us to do. Yes. Following the Lord by faith is often a scary affair. Haven't even discovered that? You just don't know. When we look at the size of the task and we compare our abilities to it, we often see ourselves lacking. We say, how in the world are we ever going to have success in this? However, in figuring those things out, we always leave God out of the equation. You know, when God is factored in, may I just remind you that 2 and 2 doesn't necessarily equal 4? Sometimes it doesn't. You get it all figured out in your mind, but listen, we better follow God and what He wants us to do. So what am I saying? to all of us who might feel the excuse of inadequacy coming out. Never allow a lack of education, a lack of money, a lack of skill, or anything else stop you from being everything that God wants you to be. Even if you can't see within yourself the resources needed, be faithful to obey Him who has called you and placed you into His Word. Above all, when you're measuring yourself against the task, always remember to measure Him who is above all others and obstacles. Now unto Him who is able to do exceedingly abundant above all else, above all that we ask or think. That's our God, folks. I don't think that Noah probably felt very adequate to build an ark, do you? And can you imagine being Noah? You want me to do what? I mean, he didn't even know what rain was. And you know, amazing thing, when you study that and you say, wait a minute, look where he was coming from. And yet he said, I'm going to do it because God said to do it. David must have felt pretty small next to Goliath, don't you think? The three Hebrew children probably felt pretty inadequate as they moved into the furnace. But listen, my friend, they looked in and they saw one like unto who? The Son of God. Daniel must have felt pretty inadequate in the lion's den. You can name it all through the Bible. You can look. God's people have been placed alongside obstacles against which they had looked and felt inadequate. But with the power of God over and over again working through them, they were able to overcome all of them. If God will do it for them, He'll do it for you. He is no respecter of persons. So my friend, if you feel that excuse of inadequacy coming out today, I encourage you to bring it and put it on the altar today and say, you know what? I may be inadequate, but my God is adequate.
Amen.
He can do whatever He wants to do. And I want Him to take my life and I want Him to use me for His glory. Oh, listen, I think sometimes it's important for us to just kind of stop and move back a little bit and see what God would desire to do if we would just let Him do it. And do it through us. He's no respecter of persons. Notice number three here. We're into chapter four. We didn't read that. But notice verses 1-9, because here's an excuse that a lot of people have. It's the excuse of inferiority. You're in chapter four, and notice with me with verse 1. And Moses answered and said, but behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, the Lord hath not appeared unto thee. And the Lord said unto him, what is that in thy hand? And he said, a rod. And he said, cast it on the ground. And he cast it on the ground. It became a serpent. Moses fled from before it, just like I would do. And the Lord said unto Moses, put forth thine hand and take it up by the tail. And he put forth his hand and caught it, and became a rod in his hand. That they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, hath appeared unto thee. And the Lord said furthermore unto him, put now thy hand into thy bosom. And he put the hand into his bosom. And when he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous as the snow. And he said, put thy hand into thy bosom again. And he did, and he took it the bosom again, and he plucked it out of the bosom. And behold, it was turned again as other flesh. And it shall come to pass that they will not believe thee, neither hearken to the voice of the first sign. They will believe the voice of the latter sign. And it shall come to pass, if they will not believe also these two signs, neither hearken unto thy voice, that thou shalt take the water of the river and pour it upon dry ground, and the water which thou takest out of the river shall become blood upon the dry ground. Well, I tell you, the Lord knows how to handle excuses, doesn't He? And after the Lord handles these other situations, now He decides that if He tells these people that He had a personal meeting with God, that they'll decide that Moses is just telling a fib, a lie. In other words, no one's going to believe what he tells them. And I think there are some of us as believers that we feel the same way when it comes to serving the Lord without fear. Many seem to have the impression that others will think that they're crazy when they begin to talk about a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. But if they say they talk to the Lord, the truth is we often feel that we are inferior to the world around us. We've had this wonderful, life-changing event in our lives that God has saved us. And we're sure that they will never believe us when we tell them about it. God's response to Moses is to let him know that when the Lord gets through working in and through him, there'll be no doubt in the minds of others as to the truth of Moses' story. In fact, God makes it plain. You're looking down at your Bible at verse 9. He says, no matter what the skeptics say, he will keep working in Moses until they're sure that his story is genuine. Our God's a great God. You have a problem with inferiority? Now, this is so true sometimes in the lives of God's children. When the Lord comes in saving power, he comes in life-changing power. He also comes in life-changing power. He has done it in life after life after life. No life can be touched by salvation that is in Jesus Christ and remain the way it was. When we moved into Crawfordsville, I may have told some of you, we moved into a house and belonged to a man and his wife. And he said to me, he said, you're not going to believe this. He said, but there was a day that I had a gun by my door. And the reason I had a gun by my door was if there might become a pastor who'll knock on my door, I'm going to get the gun out and I'm going to scare the living daylights out of you. He said, but God saved me. He said, and now I've got a preacher living in my house. Now, how can you explain that? I'll tell you how you explain it. God. God touched his life and changed him. Made him into a man of God to serve God and love God and put a preacher in his house until they could find a house for us. What a deal. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. It doesn't say that there's not going to be lapses from time to time, but however, the child of God will be unmistakably changed. All things are passed away.
Amen. That's good.
Listen. You got a mirror, take it out and look at it. You're not inferior to anyone. You are not inferior to anyone. In fact, we are the twice bought children of God. And that makes us people of greatness. And therefore, let us allow the Lord the right of way in our lives. Let's give him the room to work in us so that the lost world may see that there's power, power, power in the blood. And that Jesus does save souls and there's hope for their souls too. Listen, don't let inability, that excuse, inadequacy, inferiority, take those excuses and place them on the altar and say, Lord, you saved me. You changed my life. And I want to serve you. Now, there's one more excuse that I want you to see. And that's the excuse of infirmity. Look at verse 10. Chapter 4. And Moses said unto the Lord, well, Moses didn't give up easy, did he? He says, oh, you got that one, huh, Lord? Let me tell you another one. Okay, Lord, you got that one. Let me tell you another one. And he gets down to this one. And Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither therefore, nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. And the Lord said unto him, who hath made man's mouth, or who maketh the dumb, or deaf, or the seeing, or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Who made that mouth? Yes. Moses. Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth, and teach thee what thou shalt say. And he said, O Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of him whom thou wilt send. I don't know about you, but that sends chills up and down my back. Here's a last-ditch effort to escape the yoke God intends for him. Moses appeals to some sort of speech impediment. It may be that Moses just thought. Therefore, he responded slowly. It may be that he stuttered. I don't know. But whatever the infirmity was, Moses tries to use as an excuse for not doing the will of God. And I just have a feeling that some of God's children maybe find themselves in that position. They look at their lack of education or a physical handicap or their age or their income, you name it, in an effort somehow to stay out of the Lord's will. In truth, These are not legitimate excuses for not serving the Lord. There are none. Amen. Whatever you hold up may be, whatever it is, God was well aware of it before He ever chose you to do that work. My friend, He created you.
Yeah.
Therefore, what is our duty? Our duty is to yield to His hand. Allow Him free reign in our lives. God's response to Moses is that He made man's mouth and He made man's mind, and He was able to give man what he needed when he needed it. Now notice verse 13, because what Moses does here is, whoa, God, it's getting pretty close to home now. He said, "Oh, my Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of him whom thou shalt send." Just kind of be careful now, Lord. It's getting pretty quick here. It's kind of putting off God. And at this, God gets angry and promises Moses a helper, and he will send Aaron, his brother, along as a spokesman. But it's worthy to note that Aaron wasn't always the best help, was he? He led people into sin, the golden calf, speaking against Moses because of his wife. Listen, you and I need no need to fear being used of the Lord. He's still God, and He can take those whom He has saved and fill their minds and fill their mouths for the glory of God.
Amen.
We too have been given a helper in the person of the Holy Spirit. But listen, my friend, He's always with us.
Yes, sir.
And He teaches us everything we need to know along the way. John chapter 16, verse 15. However, unlike Aaron, He will never cause us or lead us into trouble. His plan is to help us along the way so that we might be the best Christian we can be for the glory of God. If your excuse is infirmity, then put that thought aside, will you? God used a mule to speak to Balaam. He used a rooster to speak to Peter. He used an old sheep hide to speak to Gideon. And my friend, I want to share this with you. He can speak to you and through you.
Amen.
All He asks is that you'll be available. That you'll be usable. You know, it appears to me that regardless of the excuses that man condones or concocts for not doing the will of God, God always has an answer. Sure did for Moses, didn't He? Moses said this, God said this. Here's the answer. Here's the bottom line. If you're here this morning and you've missed everything else, would you remember this one point? God wants to use you. He has saved you by His grace. He's made something out of your life, and now He wants to show you off to a lost and dying world. The best thing you and I can do is to throw our excuses down and realize that God is able where we are not able. Our heart's desire should be and must be to serve Him at all costs. Regardless of what He asks from our lives. After all, He gave His all. All to Him I give. I surrender all. Are you willing to come to Him? Throw in the towel. Are you willing this morning to say, God, here am I, send me? That's what Isaiah said. Remember in school when you finally knew an answer? Remember that? That one time you knew an answer. The teacher was asking you a question. You went, hey, I know it. I know it. I know the answer to that. You're kind of jumping up and down in your seat, you know? And that's exactly how Isaiah was saying what he said in Isaiah chapter 6. Hey, Lord, here am I. Send me. Lord, I'm here. I'm not going to give excuses. I just want to be used of you.
Amen.
I want you to use me for your glory. All I'm saying is that Moses would tell us something if he were here. I think he would stand right here in this pulpit this morning and he'd say, church, you can argue with the Lord until you're blue in the face, but He's going to get His way. That's exactly what Moses would say. We might as well get under the blessing than under the whip. That's where I want to be. You know, friend, you may be here this morning and you may be unsaved. You say, Pastor, I don't understand what you're talking about too much. Maybe you have given excuse after excuse I say to you this morning, why don't you come to Jesus today? You'll never be sorry you did. You know, I've been in this ministry for a long, long time. But I've never had anybody come back to me and say, Pastor Pycraft, I'm sorry I got saved. But I've had some people come back to me and say, I'm sorry I didn't get saved sooner. Listen, my friend, if you're here this morning, don't make any more excuses. Come to know Christ as your Savior today. Christian, what excuses are you giving to God? We've seen that God has the answer, no matter what your excuse may be. I'm busy. I don't have time. Got this. Got that. So much. Do you have the excuse of inability this morning? Give it to God. The excuse of inadequacy? Give it to God. The excuse of inferiority? Give it to God. The excuse of infirmity? Give it to God. My prayer for you this morning is that you will just come and let God do what He wants to do with your life. You know, I really believe that if we're honest with God this morning, every one of us could come here and kneel. Say, Lord, I haven't always given You everything that I should give You. I've made some excuses along the way, and I don't want to do that anymore. I want to mean business with God. If you're here without Christ, let's stop making excuses today. Come and place your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Let's bow together for prayer.